Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy start of the new league year. The Packers coming out of the gate smoking, signing Javon Hargrave, the defensive tackle from Minnesota. Mere minutes after he is released by the Vikings, the Packers swoop in and give him a two-year deal. I absolutely love this signing. Do not mistake Hargrave for the top 10-ish defensive tackle he was earlier in his career. Certainly those days are past him. An older player, Brian Gutekunst, signing someone who's 33 years old. What planet am I on? But man, this cat can still ball, and most specifically can still rush the passer and generate pressure from the interior. I know his pressure numbers were a bit down last year in Minnesota. I think there are a lot of reasons there, mostly schematic, why that occurred. I think with Gannon and the Packers defense, this is an absolutely perfect fit. He is going to wreak havoc in the center of this defense. And now, I know he is not the world's greatest run defender, but I guarantee you he is a better run defender than almost everything the Packers had on display at defensive tackle last season. Pair this cat with Devontae Wyatt in the middle. Once you get Micah Parsons back, oh my gosh, they are going to be cooking with gas. I am very, very, I'm so excited. You know how excited I am? I'm cracking a carry the G. Come on now. Phenomenal signing. Now, I hope people are going to enjoy this because I do think this is probably one of the few major signings, if not the only major signing the Packers make here in this free agency period. But man, absolutely love it. I do think they'll continue to look at the defensive interior throughout free agency. But man, you look at the tape, even last year, but specifically the last 2 years in Minnesota, this guy is a major problem for offenses up front. Absolutely love it. Love to see him in the green and gold. Very excited to watch him in this Packers defense in 2026. On top of the Hargrave signing, the Packers made a couple other moves this afternoon, including bringing back Brenton Cox Jr., who in 2024 certainly showed that he can rush the passer. I love getting him in the rotation along the edge here for Green Bay. Certainly going to need him those first four games, most likely, that Parsons is going to miss. His season, obviously, last year was truncated because of injury, came back late, didn't really have an opportunity to work himself into the rotation in a full sense, but I love bringing him back, especially considering what we saw in 2024. Hopefully he hits the ground running and is fully healthy this year. Jonathan Ford, former Packers seventh round pick, who spent a little time in Chicago before the Packers picked him back up at the end of last season, is also back in the fold. A defensive tackle who essentially a space eater, a rotational guy, probably a dude you're going to see on early downs. Not a world beater, but the world needs ditch diggers too. Like to see him back in the fold. Again, probably one of those guys you're going to see against more power running teams, teams that do like to try and run between the tackles, especially early downs. That's where Ford's going to play for them. One loss the Packers had today was Zane Anderson, who was a free agent, was not tendered, signing down in Miami with Jeff Hafley and company. Green Bay South continues to take shape there in Miami for John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley. So Zane Anderson, apparently very real, and now a member of the Miami Dolphins. But beside all that, man, just a great day. Just a great day for your Green Bay Packers. All right. What's going on, folks? How we doing? Good to see you all mixing it up. Joe is here, of course. Dave is here. What's up, Dave? Simatovich making fun of Chelsea. Hey, we don't need to talk about that right now. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers. Before I get to your comments, your questions, concerns, what have you, you guys know we got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into football, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts their full clinical resources into yours. From screenings to specialized treatment, get the expert care you deserve. Trust ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care to keep your heart game day ready. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? How you doing? B. Marsh, starting us off. How you doing, man? Do you think Franklin is going to be a three-down linebacker, or is only Cooper going to be on the field on passing downs? Would Zaire wear the green dot if he's a two-down linebacker? That is going to be fascinating to track throughout training camp. I gotta suspect they will try to make Cooper the green dot, most likely because you want him on the field all three downs, especially if they go to some of the more exotic looks that we've seen from Gannon, especially in his time in Arizona, as far as lots of different kind of secondary members, whether it's safeties, corners, what have you. But traditionally, one linebacker on the field, I want my best athlete, and that's going to be Cooper. Now, can he handle it? Is that going to play into his strengths? That remains to be seen, but I do think that's, I would suspect that's got to be the at least how they start right now. Who knows, man? Maybe they decide that it's just not working. Maybe it's too much for him. It's hindering his ability to see ball, get ball, what have you. I don't know. Whatever that conversation might be, then maybe they, yes, think, all right, let's give it to Zaire. But yeah, I got to suspect initially it'll probably be Edgerrin Cooper. As far as, you know, where Franklin fits in, I got to think that, you know, they're still going to play a boatload of two linebacker looks, right? Whether they're in 3-4, 4-3 front principles. And we did hear from Goody that they are going to play a lot more 3-4 on early downs than they have in the last couple years under Halfley. I got to think those two will be on the field the majority of the time, right? Now, there might be some mixing and matching dependent, but yeah, I think those are going to be your main two dogs, right? But when it gets down to one backer, I think it's got to be Cooper, especially coming into year three. We've seen the athleticism. You've seen the playmaking ability. Got to keep him on the field, especially in favor of a 30-year-old linebacker, right? As productive as he might be in this scheme, I got to think that he's the one that comes off. But we'll see. Long way to go. It's a fair question. That's my initial read. We'll see how it transpires here over the course of the next 3-4 months, right? Will, how are you, sir? With 99 spending a lot of time with one so far this offseason, I feel good things are coming this year. Can only hope, man. Give, you know, whoever's around Micah Parsons all that Micah Parsons fairy dust. That's what I'm talking about. I love what 99 put on the tape last year. Anything, any tips, any tricks he can learn, let's do it, man. I'm about that life. Joe, how are you, sir? Vikings release a veteran guy and the Packers immediately signed him. Feels like the earth is spinning off its axis, but I like it. Truly, that usually is a transaction that goes the other way, right? Just think of it as back in the day when the Packers signed Gilbert Brown. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Gilbert Brown, but his Instagram handle is Gravedigger, I think 97, but it does say Gravedigger. Get that man a tinted visor ASAP. You know, that one worked out pretty well in our favor. But you're right, in modern times, it's been pretty one-directional the other way. But I will take it, no question about it. E4, how are you, sir? Will Hargrave have to shower with holy water to remove the purple before entering the Packer facility? That is between him and his deity. I'm sure he is working out whatever needs to happen in that regard. Marcos, how you doing, man? Hey, love the show. Hargrave next to Devontae Wyatt is going to be insane. Awesome way to beef up the interior. I'm from California. Any chance you know where I can get some Carry the G? Yes, unfortunately, it's only in the state of Wisconsin. That is your best bet. That is your only bet. And most of it is probably gone from store shelves at this point. It is a seasonal beer. So if you know anybody in Wisconsin, have them ship you some. Or have them get, you know, a truck full of beer and drive it to you. Like, that's how I got this. Good stuff. Appreciate the kind words, Marcos. Thank you. Jerry, how you doing, man? Only 6 more signings to feel confident. Sweet. Because, Jerry, that's what it's all about. Your feelings. I'm kidding. I kid because I love. No, man, I think they're doing some pretty damn good work so far in the off season. I mean, hell, free agency's only been open for, what, 2 hours? Officially, you know, the addition of St. Juiced, bring in Franklin in the trade. Now you bring in Hargrave. I like where they're at, man. I like what they're doing. Funko. As a society, we need to stop overpaying mid-QBs, referring to Daniel Jones. See, I hear you, man, but Daniel Jones was cooking before he got that, you know, injury. And I understand the Colts, who have been wandering in the wilderness since, you know, basically Andrew Luck up and quit on them. I'm not surprised, especially Ballard, who seems to have nine lives, kind of latching on to the first quarterback that's looked halfway decent in his tenure. I'm not surprised. Let's say that. I do think Jones looked good enough to warrant a significant contract. Now, who knows how he's going to look coming off injury, etc., but I understand it from the Colts' point of view. Soder, yes, correct. Put him next to Parsons. I imagine, is Hargrave. Pressure rate about to go way up. That's what's crazy is, like, if you look at the pressures that Hargrave has had as an individual, as a player, he was hovering around the 60 range per year prior to arriving in Minnesota. And I think this year he went down, you know, pretty significantly. But I also think, you know, he was playing nose tackle, and the feature in Minnesota is the scheme, right? There's a lot going on up front to occupy things to get free rushers, right? We've seen how many zero blitzes and different variations of zero blitzes from Brian Flores. Like, the scheme is what's doing the pressuring. They're asking their interior guys to block things up, to really hold bodies, right? So that linebackers, safeties can fly in and make these kind of either tackles for loss or pressure the quarterback, etc. I think you put Hargrave back in a defense that asks him to get upfield and get after the quarterback, I think those pressures are going to go up, individual pressures. And now you start talking about him running games with Wyatt on one side and Parsons on the other. Oh, baby. Let's freaking go. I am about that life. Let's see what we got here, folks. Oh, Carter, I like where your head's at. They're going to draft a defensive tackle early. Dominique Orange, Iowa State. I love the idea of Dominique Orange. Let me tell you, that cat is, he's got some juice, right? He's got some wiggle. He's got some ability. I'm all about that guy being in the green and gold. And speaking of, you know, everything they might be able to do in the draft, including get the big orange here, make sure you are getting the Cheesehead TV draft guide that drops on April 2nd. That's right. Just make sure you have a membership to our Patreon. You do not need to pay. Do not need to be a paid member of Patreon, but you do need to have an account on our Patreon page. Cheesehead TV draft guide available for purchase on April 2nd. Look at that. How great would that be? Big Iowa State stud right there in green and gold. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. That's where I'm living. What else we got here, folks? Make sure I don't miss any super chats because people get all upset. Big Citrus. Ian, what's going on, man? Let's go, Nags. I'm loving this offseason. Gannon is being handed the keys to a fully loaded defense. Might be a goat soon. Go, Pack, go. Carry the G. Never have told you I love Cheesehead TV. Ian, really appreciate the support, man, and the kind words. And yeah, you got to think. This is something I talked about with Billy earlier this afternoon, which, please check out that conversation, which we did record prior to the Hargrave signing. But I think we allude to it at some point because it felt like a very real possibility. But yeah, if there's a offseason where it makes a world of sense to kind of rip things up on the defensive side of the ball and bring in a lot of new kind of body types, ages, what have you, this is the one, right? When you're transitioning to a pretty significantly different defense. You know, this is the moment where you are probably going to acquiesce to a few other aging veterans because you need guys who can come in and play right away so you can get this defense up on its feet. I mean, this is a team that is hoping to be scoring 30 points a game. This is a defense that needs to be able to be operational out of the gate. They don't have a lot of time to wait around. Now, I do think there will be an adjustment period early as everyone gets on the same page in this scheme, but they can't wait too long. They got to gel, and I think adding guys like Hargrave and Franklin, et cetera, is part of that, right? Can Hargrave take punt returns? Danny, they signed Sky Moore, former Aaron Nagler draft crush. Sky Moore is your returner. Now, we'll see. You know, maybe he gets to preseason and has a muff and they cut him. We saw that last year. But, hey, man, I love the addition of Sky Moore. I think he can be a real weapon in the return game if they allow him to be. And plus, he can do kicks and punts. Let's go, baby. No need to worry about any of it. Set it and forget it. Sky is back there, and he's going to take one or two to the house. That's what I'm about. Let's do it. Is the draft guide digital? Yes, it is a PDF download. And on April 2nd, you will be able to download it at the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, very happy for the Hargrave signing. Now, if they could convince Diggs to come back on a cheaper deal to play with Micah, I will be happy. I mean, he's still sitting out there. I don't know, man. They did cut him awfully quick, and possibly that was done as a favor to let him get out to market prior to the start of free agency. But you'll notice it ain't like he's signed anywhere. I think, you know, he's probably going to be on the market for a bit. And I don't doubt there will be a potential kind of reunion there. I think it would depend on what he's looking for contractually, but yeah, I don't hate the idea. Let's say that. What else we got here, folks? Jim, Max Crosby is still available. Woo, daddy. You are not wrong. That is crazy. What a situation, right? It's a little nuts. Connie says, all this D talk, what about our O-line? Connie, you must be new here because I've done nothing but talk about the O-line for days, weeks even. Very much suggest you check out my conversation with Bill Schmid from earlier this afternoon. I will be putting it, it's linked to on the Cheesehead TV Facebook page, but it'll be on my Facebook page that you're on right now later tonight. So make sure you check that out because Billy had some really good points to make about the offensive line, though he did agree that, you know, my misgivings about kind of running it back with many of the same dudes, they have to be better. There is zero doubt about that. And clearly they're counting on development from within, which can occur, but that's a big, big step that they're going to need to take. No doubt about it. Do we sign Ken? That's a fair question. Do we sign another defensive lineman in free agency or are we done? I think there's going to be an opportunity or two. It's going to be dependent on what they're looking for contract wise, who else is in on it. I can't imagine they make a big splash. I know there's been a lot of talk about a trade for Jalen Carter. I'll be absolutely shocked if that occurs, but yeah, I do think they'll be at least looking for some big bodies, some nose types, so to speak. I don't think they're going to make, again, a big investment there. I think most of that's going to come through the draft, would be my guess. But we'll see. It's only the first day, right? Only a couple hours in. Long way to go. Big Al, how you doing, man? With the Packers moving towards a 3-4, it would benefit a guy like Carl Brooks or maybe LVN, but at the same time, we're running a multi-front defense. Well, you got to remember, yeah, the Carl Brooks thing is going to be interesting. Because, you know, on early downs, you would suspect if you are going 3-4, right, then Micah and or Brenton Cox or LVN or whoever's in there when Micah's out, opposite, you know, Sorrell or whoever, LVN, whatever, those are your 3-4 upstanding backers, right? Your guys who are in two-point stances. But if you're like 3-4 traditional, you know, you got three-man line on early downs, I got to suspect Hargrave and Wyatt are flanking somebody in the middle, right? They're playing DE in a classic 3-4, but this is only on early downs because then apparently what, you know, probably will happen is they're going to switch to more, you know, nickel, two backers, four-man front. And those guys could be hand in the dirt, could be standing up on the edge, who knows. But I do think that's where the hole still resides in the front, right, is that nose tackle slash anchor in the middle. Because I don't think that's Wyatt. I don't think that's Hargrave, especially on early downs. I think that's a to be determined yet. And we'll see how they approach that. K Ken, A'shaun Robinson is definitely a possibility, especially since he was released and he's not, his contract wasn't up. He was released by the Panthers. Means he doesn't count against the comp pick formula. I think there's a very good chance they at least make a call there. Now, the problem is I think there are going to be a lot of people making that call, and I can't imagine the Packers going in on a bidding war for his services, though, hey, if they think he's an important piece and something they could really utilize in the rotation, maybe they do go that route. But I would be shocked if they didn't at least inquire, right? But again, a lot of people will be, no doubt about it. Jay, what's up, man? Didn't the Ravens deny Ryan Grant coming there back in the day? Baltimore, I believe so. And also Za'Darius Smith. Don't forget that moment where Za'Darius was a Raven for a day or two. And then suddenly he was not. And then he was in Minnesota. The Ravens, this is not their first rodeo. This is not the first time they've done this kind of thing. No question about it. Carter. Nags, you buried the lead. Jonathan Ford is back. I mentioned it at the start, Carter. You got to get here when we start. I'm kidding. Speaking of, thank you everybody for being patient and waiting an hour. I really appreciate it. I had a bunch of stuff I was dealing with over here. Really happy that you're here with me now. That's Jonathan Ford or Jordan Riley at nose. I mean, Pact, I hear you. Ford, I don't love the idea of him being your frontline guy. I think he's a rotational guy who will give you some snaps throughout. I can't imagine they're counting on him to be the nose. And Riley, I liked what he did late in the year last year, but you got to remember, he's coming back from a very significant injury, and it was suffered very late in the year. So decent chance he misses the season. But we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen any news on that, what have you, but yeah, I don't think you can count on Riley at any point, especially not early in the year. Mike, thanks again, man. If we do indeed go to 3-4, I think Micah could really flourish in that scheme, a la Julius Peppers in 2014. Well, remember, it's not a strict 3-4. It won't be a strict 3-4, but there will be 3-4 principles on certain down and distances. It's going to be pretty multiple. I think there's going to be a lot of different looks. But yeah, I think early downs, certainly, there's going to be opportunities there. And look, some of this is going to be dependent on what the offense is trotting out with. Like, if you're playing some team that comes out on first down with four wide receivers, you're not countering with a traditional 3-4 look. That's just not how that often goes. But we'll see. But there's going to be a very distinctly looking difference to the defense this year. That is for certain. What else we got here, folks? Tulio, that's a fair question. Nags, any truth to the Jalen Carter talks? Can't say one way or the other. I do know that Adam Schefter this afternoon, while appearing on the Pat McAfee show, said that they are not shopping him and they have no intention of doing so. Now, that's very carefully worded and leaves out the idea of maybe teams calling, right? And I know there are a couple reports out there about the Packers being one of those teams that have called. My only response to that is, yeah, the Packers, as they always do and have been and will forever be, as long as Brian Gutekunst is in town, are in on every conversation, just like Brian said when he was hired. So I don't think that's huge news, right? That's an NFL team operating like an NFL team. That's how I view that. But, they're definitely sniffing around, but they're probably sniffing around 100 other things as well. Carter, thanks again, man. Surprise, Sheed isn't signed yet. I saw that he is the only member of Greg Rosenthal's top 100 free agents, 101 free agents, sorry, who doesn't have a home yet. I am and I'm not. I am because I thought for sure someone would instantly overpay. I'm not because he had a pretty poor year and he ended it on a very sour note in that playoff game. So this might be the market going, okay, we're going to hold here for a second. We're going to let your asking price come down a little bit because I'm sure they came out of the gate smoking, he and his representatives. I think he'll still end up signing a pretty significant deal. But given the year he's coming off of, and again, the last game that he put on tape, I can't say I'm shocked. But I'm a tad surprised that it hasn't happened yet. I'll say that. Roost, reading my mind, man. Dalvin Tomlinson, an option at nose tackle? I think so. Got some history, right, with the defensive coordinator. I think it would depend on what he's asking and looking for, but I like that idea. I don't know how into it he would be, but if he's amiable, bring him in, man. Frank, what's going on, man? Will we not sign more players to keep comp picks? I've tried a bit to stay away from the comp pick conversation just because it seems to kind of overwhelm everything at this point of the season. Because, yes, the Packers are in a really good spot for 2027 when it comes to their compensatory selections. But, you know, that doesn't mean they're going to not sign a guy if he is, you know, the piece that they think is going to make the defense go or the offense click or whatever. They're not going to say, well, we can't lose that comp pick. You know, don't get it twisted. They definitely are looking at 2027 and collecting these compensatory selections, but it's not going to stop them from doing anything. Now, are they going to lean probably more towards guys who have been cut because it doesn't affect the comp pick formula? Probably. No doubt about it. That's a reality in Green Bay. And I think some of that, you know, you're coming off of this three-year window where you were the youngest team in the league, right? And now you've had a bunch of guys walk out the door this offseason. You have some really decent replacements coming in. You don't have first-round picks this year or next. You need another class that kind of replenishes the cheap labor that you've been working with for the last 2 or 3 years, right? They're getting a little older, skewing a little older. The core is maturing. You've signed some 30-year-olds for the first time in forever. You know, you're going to need another class that, like, infuses you with young, cheap labor, which is what 2027 is set up to do. So, you know, there's a method behind the madness. There's long-term thinking here. But as Brian said at the combine, you know, it's not in service of, oh, we're aiming to 2027. Don't forget, they've got a very specific three-year window with Micah Parsons as far as how his contract is set. They got to take advantage of 2026 as well as 2027, trying to win a championship right now. You know, and if they have to burn a comp pick to do it, I don't think they're going to balk at that idea, right? We shall see. Oh, Sibitovich, what's up, man? Thoughts on Thanksgiving Eve games? I think it's ridiculous, but most of it's ridiculous. Thursday night games are ridiculous. You know, Christmas Day games are ridiculous. All of it's ridiculous at this point. Give me Sundays, Sunday night, and Monday night, and we're gold. But the NFL knows we'll watch. It'll still break viewership records. It'll still be number one that week. So they'll do it, and we'll all tune in. You know, it's like, it's frustrating, but I don't see it going away anytime soon, especially because it creates yet another revenue stream for the league because they can sell that to a single streamer, right? And make it a Peacock exclusive. That's the way forward, unfortunately. Mike, how are you? My hot take today, Raiders going to trade Max to the Eagles for AJ Brown in a second. Thoughts? Possibility. I mean, you could tell me, you know, they're going to keep Crosby and let him just stick to being a Raider. And I would buy that too. Anything is possible. Ian says, better than the Bears getting him. Yeah, I don't want him on the Bears, but the champion in me fears no one. As they say, champions fear no one. Bring on Max Crosby. I don't care. We got Micah Parsons. Let's go. I'm in on it. Jason, how are you, sir? Since we signed a cornerback and defensive tackle, I guess that means we'll draft an offensive tackle at 52. Joking. I don't know why you're joking. I would not be surprised whatsoever if they took an offensive lineman there, even if it is an offensive tackle. I think almost everything's on the table there. I hear what you're saying, like, well, how you're joking, but don't be too crazed if that is what actually ends up happening. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers an hour late each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.